started, glad everyone was able to find their way out into the cold. It's just been warm up a little, so we'll probably have you here on a Friday morning. This is going to be a wonderful panel because it's being managed by a group of people who helped put a project together, and I think seeing how that comes together and having your input is going to be an experience you really get in an academic setting. So rather than try and do individual introductions, because Paul and I know one another because we're both healthcare architects and we run in the same circles, and we can let Paul do the introductions. We're going to leave time at the end. I'll pick a couple of questions off your list, and then we'll open it up in case there's something really pressing in the room to respond to. So just before we get into that, I just want to make sure there are no questions about the readings and what's due in the class over the next few weeks. Okay, make sure you get your questions in. Make sure you sign up for your lunches. And make sure you do the readings. Thank you. Gentlemen.
Good morning. Thanks for having us here. When Joseph had asked about if we had any readings for this presentation that we're going to do, and it made me sort of think back. When I was in school here back in Cornell, it was in 1988, I took a real estate class here, and one of the required readings was The Art of the Deal. It was an autobiography of Donald Trump. That was a required reading, so it's a crazy world. So anyhow, we're happy that Mardell asked us to come and do a presentation, and I sort of took the tactic of strength in numbers, so I think that'll help out a little bit. The presentation is really going to be—it's going to be about people and the project. And when I was getting ready to pull this together, we're all working together on a really interesting project. But I also was thinking about, you know, exposing you to other professionals and stuff. And so I've got some really good—I guess we'd call them high-performing people—and I thought it would be fun to sort of expose you to this whole team and sort of understand that. You know, even though they may not physically be designing the project and stuff, they're all very involved in design. And so I thought that would be a good. So I'm going to just really briefly explain a little bit about the project and where it is. It's a project here in Ithaca, so I thought you'd find that interesting. The location is, if you're going down Route 13 into the city, you go by Ithaca High School, and then on the right-hand side, there's an Aldi's grocery store. And then there's a sort of restaurant supply. And right after that, there's a community garden. If you've been down there, there's lots of fences and pallets and weeds growing there. So that basically, right near there, is where the site of the project is. What we're doing is
the other landmark that people might know is Purity.
Oh, yes, right across the street from Purity Ice Cream there.
And the farmer's market.
And the farmer's market.
All right. So basically, on that site, we're proposing to put four buildings. There's some mixed-use residential, some affordable housing, and a medical office building. And that's kind of an interesting mix of things to put on one site. And that was part of what's interesting about this project. It makes it a little bit different. The people that are here today is we've got the owner of the site, Cuga Medical Center, John Rudd. Andy Bodaway is the developer for Park Grove. And then Scott Whittam, sorry. Scott Whittam is the landscape architect, and he's on the team to help take it through the regulatory process, through reviews and stuff. And then I'm with Holt Architects. There's two other design firms, Barton Partners out of Philadelphia is doing the mixed-use buildings, and then Passero, a firm out of Rochester, is doing the lower income affordable housing. But I thought if we brought everybody, then it'd be a little much. So okay, so there's a picture of me. So what I'm going to do is just tell you a little bit about how I got where I am, and all the other gentlemen are going to do the same thing. And so I grew up in Vermont. I went to college the first time in New Hampshire. I was going to be a mechanical engineer. That lasted about a year. From there, I ended up out in Vail. I was working construction and skiing. That lasted a couple years. That was a good time. And then my wife was moving to Hawaii to go to hotel school. And so skiing was over. It was kind of springish time of year. And I said, well, so I moved out to Hawaii with her. And we lived there for 5 years. While she was going to school, I started working in hotels. And I started as a front desk clerk. And I had worked myself up to front office manager at a hotel, and it was on Maui in Kaanapali. It was like a 500-room hotel. And then my wife and I were managing an apartment building, and a developer came and bought the building and converted it into a hotel. And it was back in like the mid-'80s, and at the time there was an influx of of money from Japan into Hawaii buying real estate. So real estate values were going crazy at the time. And so there was a lot of money to be made sort of basically flipping hotels is what they were doing. So we worked with that guy for a couple years, so it sort of got me a little bit of an exposure. 1987, I moved back, went to the architecture school, graduated in 92. And then I was working for a small firm here in Ithaca, and then I started working at Holt. And while I was working at Holt, basically our market share is we do healthcare and higher education and some housing. And so I ended up quickly sort of on the healthcare team, and it's sort of one of those things that either you really, really like it or you really, really don't. But it's something that you can't really do part-time because it's so complicated. So I really got into the healthcare, and the more that I did it, the more that I enjoyed it. And so that's sort of how I ended up there. As far as our firm, I'm jumping around, bear with me. So we're located in downtown Ithaca. There's about 45 of us now. We also have an office in Syracuse. You know, one of the passions of our firm is sustainability, and so I've spent a lot of time and energy incorporating sustainability into our healthcare projects, and we started this a long time ago, back when LEED first came out. We were, a lot of us in the office got accredited under, like, the first version of LEED, we were very fortunate because we had some really good clients who bought into this whole thing, and so we had one of the first LEED-certified healthcare projects in New York State. There was another one before us, but it wasn't a clinical project, and so back then it was really, really complicated. One of my passions now is sort of incorporating sort of this wellness layer into the buildings and stuff that we're working on, and so that's one of the things that I really want to bring to this project that we're going to talk about today. So, you know, our role in it is to design the medical office building, which you'll see, which is a great project, but also I want to sort of really incorporate a lot of wellness into that building and try to, you know, have it work on the whole project. What else did we do? So one of the things, just real quick, and I'll jump off. My experience when I was working in the hotel business really has a lot, I think it helped me a lot in my career as a healthcare architect. You know, working at the front desk, that's sort of the front lines, and some of you that have done it know what I'm talking about. And you really learn to develop empathy. I think, you know, you just really understand, you know, and how to help people, because that's really what you're doing a lot. And also understanding the world from other people's perspective. And I think that's really, really important. That, you know, I had a contractor tell me years ago that, you know, somebody's perception is their reality. And if you really think about that, it's real true. And it's so much easier to deal with some of the complicated things that we deal with every day if you sort of understand where the other people are coming from. So I think that's an important career thing for me. The other thing is surrounding yourself with good people when you guys get out there in the workplace and move up in management and stuff like that. That's so important is, you know, as you're hiring people and stuff like that, is hire people that are better than you. I mean, it's all good. It's all good. So the better team that you can get around you, the more successful you'll be. And so those are sort of key things to my career. And one last thing, and I'll turn it over to John, is, you know, we're a lot about giving back and stuff. And so I sit on different boards and stuff like that. I'm on the Tompkins County Workforce Investment Board. I'm on the, where am I? I'm on a board member for the Seward House Museum in Auburn. If you ever make it to Auburn, it's a great place to go visit. And I'm on the Board of Zoning Appeals for the village that I live in and stuff like that. So again, giving back is really important too. So I'm going to turn it over to I'm going to turn it over to Andy.
Okay.
We do each other's too.
Well, welcome. Thanks for having us here today. And I'm Andy Bodewis. My company is Park Grove Realty, and we are the developer on the project. And I'll just give you a little bit of my background, and then I think what we're going to do is I'll turn it over to John. He's going to tell you a little bit about himself, and then we're going to tell you a little bit about the project. I think, well, Scott will tell you a little bit about himself, and then we'll tell you a little bit about the project. So I am obviously a real estate developer. Our company, Park Grove, is based in Rochester. We focus on real estate development and management. So essentially everything we develop, we want to own and manage. Our goal is to create long-term assets, a long-term opportunity and assets through owning and managing as opposed to just sort of developing and then selling. Everything that we do, we're looking to hold for the long-term and create a real asset. So my background is I grew up not too far from here in Elmira. I left after college, actually went to Elmira College where my father was a professor and was in Elmira and then went to law school. Took a couple years off actually after college and worked in the insurance business and knew kind of right away that having done that for a few months that I needed to do something else. So I knew I wanted to go to graduate school, but I wanted to take a little time off and get a little work experience. And so went to law school and practiced law for a few years and quickly realized that I want to practice law for 40 years. So great experience, good education, but I knew I wanted something a little different, a little more business type position as opposed to tracking hours and billing hours and servicing clients. So eventually I had an opportunity to join Conifer Realty, which is a real estate development company in Rochester. And I did that for about 12 to 13 years and got to the point where the last 6 or 7 years was involved in leading the development department for Conifer Realty. Conifer is based in Rochester and very heavily focused on developing, owning, and managing affordable housing. And I would say that was, we did some mixed-use development and some market rate, but mostly a lot of affordable. And it was just a fantastic area to learn in because you want to, anything in life, if you try sort of what's really hard and figure that out, then the other stuff is kind of easy. And I would say that in terms of real estate development, probably one of the hardest things you can do is go into a community and sell an affordable housing development. Now, that may be different in Ithaca, but Ithaca is unique. Try going any other place in upstate New York and tell them that you want to develop affordable housing, and they're going to, you're lucky if you get out with your car in one piece and the tires aren't flat. So, and then add into that with affordable housing, beyond just the fact that when you go in for approvals and nobody wants it in their neighborhood or in their community, you need to deal with bureaucracy, right? So the funding mechanism by and large for affordable housing is through state agencies. And so you're dealing with housing agencies of all different types and people that are government workers, which there's nothing wrong with being a government worker, but you need to work your way through the bureaucratic process. And it's not always easy. And there are many times where you want to bang your head against the wall and you just have to see it through. So developing affordable housing was a great experience. And I think, quite honestly, just a great thing to contribute back to the community because, you know, if you do it well and you do the right project, it just is, it's a great asset to the community you're developing in because we all know in this country today, there's just an incredible demand for affordable housing and it's a great need. And not that I'm here to preach to you about that, but it just, I think everybody's better off if they have a good, safe, clean, decent place to put their head at night, particularly the young people in this country. So about 4 years, 3.5, 4 years ago, my partner and I, who also was a partner at Conifer Realty before we left, we decided to start our own company. We're in our mid-40s, and we decided, you know, sort of now or never, if we're going to do this, let's do it now. And so we started our own company, Park Grove, and we've been... for the last 3.5 years, we've really been focused on not only affordable housing, but mixed-use developments. We have background in adaptive reuse of historic buildings. We've recently completed a building on University Avenue in Rochester, which was about 100,000-foot industrial building that we've converted into 17 high-end loft-style apartments and about 40,000 feet of commercial and retail space, and the in that space is a really unique urban winery, which is a neat concept. In Rochester, in this building we have an urban winery, which I think there's only a handful around the country, but they actually make their wine and have a tasting room and bottle it right in our building. So they make New York wine and Australian wine, and so it's really neat. So we love having the opportunity to do a variety of different developments and not just do affordable housing or not just develop mixed use or commercial things, but be able to create something that has diversity and is able to serve the need wherever in a particular community, because every community is different and the needs are different. And so that's what we're doing today. We're really excited when we started working on this, and we've been working with Cayuga Med, and we can talk a little bit more about that since the beginning on this, and we're really pleased to be a part of it. So we're happy to share with you today more about it.
Thank you. And then, Mr. Scott.
Oh, that's an awful picture of me.
My office really sent that to you?
I'll go quickly so we don't have to look at this. Scott Whittem, we have a small landscape architecture planning firm here in Ithaca, but we work throughout the Northeast at a range of scales. So we're doing an exquisite little garden in Brooklyn, an estate in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, some campus work in Princeton, and a lot of things around here and other places. And again, the scales range a lot from projects like this that you'll hear about to the vineyards. We have two vineyards right now we're working on, some urban planning in Binghamton and Elmira. We're doing a large project in Elmira. So, but there's only six of us in our office, so a really small group. Some of us went to Cornell. I got my master's in landscape architecture and planning here when all of us were in Sibley together before it all sort of split up. And think of, you know, as you look at projects and as you look at being involved in things, some of the folks that you meet here as a student, you'll be working with later. Some of the people that I knew as colleagues, as a grad student, are now faculty in architecture and planning here right now at Cornell. So that's one thing that I didn't think of then, that I'd still be working with some of those same folks and know them. I don't know how much else I have to say about my life.
It's up to you. Share what you want.
Let's get rid of this photo that's up there and John.
Okay, great. Good morning, everybody. I'm John Rudd. I'm president and CEO of Cayuga Health System. I've been with the hospital for about 23 years. I came in as the CFO, but I'm an upstate New Yorker. I grew up when I was small down in the Big Flats Corning area. We moved to Syracuse. I did my undergraduate work out in Western New York, graduate work out in the Albany Schenectady area. So I've kind of circled around. My undergrad is actually biology, environmental sciences. My goal was to do environmental consulting, and then I also had a minor in business to kind of tie into that environmental consulting work. I got out of college in 1980. So you might have read about that in your history books. And it was a time where environmental was an issue in our country. We literally had rivers on fire in our country and because of the pollution. And so that was one of my goals. And I knew that I wanted to do something in my career that was mission-oriented. And I got out, and undergraduate. And unfortunately, while we had all these issues, the national environment was such that there wasn't all that much concern for it at the time. So I ended up, the one thing I knew I didn't want to do is to go home without a job. So I ended up working in a medical lab as a lab tech. Back then, if you were a bio major, you could work in a lab tech, as a lab tech. I did that for a couple years. I was a chemistry and hematology tech and did some phlebotomy, was drawing blood. And I kind of enjoyed the healthcare side of things. I thought, well, you know, that might be another angle to still have a business and consulting, but in healthcare instead of environmental, still very mission-oriented. So I went to Union for their MBA in healthcare administration, and again, wanted to start the career in consulting, and I got a position with what is now PricewaterhouseCoopers. It was Coopers and Lybrand way back then. And I was a consultant with them for about 8 years and you know, was on kind of that partner track, and then realized that this is really not what I wanted, and ended up going with one of my clients in Buffalo and as the CFO. And then an opportunity came to come to Ithaca. And all my whole life I'd visited Ithaca and come to Ithaca. It's a great community. And so my wife and I and our two small children, we decided to come to Ithaca thinking we'll be here 4 or 5 years. We'll be wonderful and we'll move on somewhere else. 23 years later, we're still here and loving it. My career at Cuga Med has been interesting because I started as a CFO, took on more operations over time. At that point, when Paul mentioned the LEED certification, I, because of my undergrad background, I kind of, you know, Paul said he convinced us. I don't think there was a lot of convincing. We had to convince our board is what we needed to do, because I was sold. I mean, as soon as we knew what LEED was all about, we knew and we convinced our board that it was worth the investment, because there was an upfront investment with a long-term opportunity for a return on that investment. So we did have one of the first clinical buildings. Our ER and ICU has LEED designation. Every one of our big projects that we do is done through the lens of LEED and environmental concerns. Fast forward a little bit, I had the opportunity to be the prime vice president over the development of the Cuga Wellness Center. How many people are familiar with the Island Health and Fitness, maybe? So it's the wellness center down on the waterfront, or on the inlet, on the west end, right near the old train station, 5-story building. And so we worked with the developer in that project. Again, this one is one where the developer owns the property. And we developed 65,000 square foot wellness center that has fitness, it has a day spa, it has sports medicine, it has a lifestyle modification, medically based lifestyle modification, a cardiac PT. So it's a pretty amazing project down there. If you ever get an opportunity to go down and see the wellness center. So when we'll get into the project here. So that's kind of where my career has kind of progressed. I had the opportunity in about 8 years ago to follow the CEO of the medical center as the CEO of the medical center. And then, so I've been in that role for about 8 years. And about 2 years after that, we brought two hospitals together, a small hospital over in Watkins Glen, to form Cuga Health System. So I currently serve as the president and CEO of the health system. The project that we're talking about today, Carpenter Park development, very interesting. I mean, Paul kind of walked through where this project is. But you might ask, why are we involved in it? And, we're only a very small component here. But when we started looking at this project, and it was brought to our attention by Andy and a consultant that Andy works with, who's also on our board of directors, and we said, this is going to be an amazing project for this community, and we wanted to be part of it. And so when we look at, again, why a hospital? Why would we do this? Well, I always think it's important to start with your mission statement. So our mission statement is that we will improve the health of our communities. And so that's, a key component of our mission statement. And to me, this is a project that can actually help improve the health of our communities in many different ways, and we'll talk about that as we work through this. It also meets our vision statement. Our vision statement is based on what's known in healthcare as the triple aim of better health, better care, and improved value of care. And it really fits into that better health. It talks about the population and how do you improve the health and the environment and all aspects of the health of a community. And so again, this project fit very nicely into that. And then as you kind of walk through and answer that question of why the medical center or why the health system, again, it met the mission. It fit into the mission statement. It helped achieve that triple aim with a healthy community. It provided a great location for a downtown presence. We've struggled a little bit because we've had the hospital on the west side of the lake up on the hill for many years. It's probably 50 years. And then we've had a presence on the east hill up by the airport. But we've never had a true presence in medical office building. We do have the wellness center, which came in about 10 years ago. But we haven't had that presence of more clinical programming right downtown. And so when this opportunity came up, I said, this may be the great opportunity for us to have a very visible presence in the entry point of this community. It actually, you know, provides walkability, and that was the other piece of this, is how do we have a health facility that is walkable, not only to, you know, it's a little bit of a walk to downtown, but when you look at how it relates to the waterfront, how it relates to the farmer's market, how it relates to our wellness center, which is only about a half mile walk around the inlet, it really has a nice location there. And it provided a competitive advantage. This was a piece of property that our major competitor, Guthrie Health, which is an organization in Pennsylvania that really does strive to take care out of our community and take it to Pennsylvania. And so we worked very hard. So we needed to have a competitive advantage over them. And they showed an interest in this location. So we said, no, we need to get this piece of property and work with the developer to do it. So we are actually the owner of the property. And again, it allowed us to have that influence on the project that is, you know, I view this as one of the major entry points to our community. And when you see some of the work that these guys have done, it's pretty amazing. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to Andy and, you know, kind of talk about how we got here.
Sure. Thank you. Thanks, John.
So we became aware of the site, and I think probably it's one of those sites that everybody sees when you go by it. It sits there, and it's sort of a big vacant parcel, and as a developer, you kind of scratch your head and like, I wonder why that's so, this huge piece of land that's right in the middle of everything and it's vacant. Well, there's always a reason when you see something that's that big and it's vacant. There has to be reasons why it hasn't been developed. So, but it also says opportunity on it, you know, kind of screams out that, hey, there's no other site this size in this community that's available, that's vacant, and if you can figure out the challenges and solve it, maybe there's a great opportunity here. We became aware of it when there was a previous owner that CMC bought the site from, who had a proposal for a huge auto mall, and it became abundantly clear to him maybe a couple years into his effort to get his auto mall approved, that it wasn't going to happen. And that's when it became known that this site might be available for another really mixed-use development with housing and some other things. And so that's when we became aware of it. And at that point, we kind of, the prices he was throwing out seemed a little outrageous and insurmountable, but at the time we mentioned it to, as John mentioned, a consultant that we work with, and he began talking to folks at CMC, and we sort of started thinking about it as a mixed-use site that maybe could create, I think our thought was with the medical office and then mixed use and is to create sort of a little micro community within the community that might have the medical office, housing, and maybe some commercial and retail, and blend everything in. So that was in maybe mid-2016. And I think probably in the spring of 2017 is when the health system or Cayuga Medical Center closed on the land. And shortly thereafter, we reached an agreement to be the preferred developer of the site. And we began working pretty quickly on coming up with a plan and how were we going to develop this, and also trying to digest those challenges that we knew had to be there. What were they, and how were we going to figure this site out? Because we knew there were reasons why it was vacant.
And maybe just to add into there, because, you know, as Andy said, the price of the land was really started competitively escalating.
It did, that's true.
And so, you know, from a developer standpoint, purely a developer standpoint, the price got to a point where it wouldn't have made sense for them to do it. The return wouldn't have been there. Our board struggled with this, and so we said, we're in this for the long haul. We are part of this community. We will always be part of this community. And so we looked at it and said, you know, even if we're overpaying, if you look at the time horizon of a 50 to 100 year investment, the annual amortization of that additional cost that we had to spend to ensure that we got that piece of property was worth it. And our board made that decision. I think it was the right decision to make, but we knew that we had to have the right developer to help develop it. And that's where these guys, were able to put together a program that we think will provide value over time. So I just wanted to acknowledge that, why all of a sudden did we switch from you buying the property to us buying the property?
Yeah, he's not only good at selling cars. So we decided, we thought, we really need an urban planner to help us decide, well, what can we do on this site? What get some ideas of what this site can become. And that's where we hired a firm that we've worked with quite a bit in the past. Our footprint when we were at Conifer was a multiple states, about five states, and we worked a lot in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Barton Partners is based in Philadelphia, and it was a company we worked with a lot, and we thought, we know they're really good urban planners and designers, and so we brought them on board to sort of start laying out some rough ideas on what we could put on this site, including the medical office building, and then what else can we do. We're going to get to in a second, and Scott can share with you some of those constraints, but so we started come up with some plans, and then at that point we realized, I met Scott, and I thought, geez, he'd be a fantastic addition to our team, to not only have his planning expertise, but his really just incredible knowledge about Ithaca and the approval process and his creative ability, which has been a great addition to our team. We brought on Passero, which is a group in Rochester. They have architecture and engineering, and that's a group we work with a lot, and they do a lot of affordable housing and are very skilled at, they know the programs in affordable housing, so when we go to the state, they know how to design a building, they know how to lay out the building in a way that the state's going to want to see, which, as I mentioned earlier, is really important that you are able to work with the state and kind of deliver the program that they want. And so we brought Passero on, and then we brought Paul and the whole team on to really help us with the medical office building, and they have done a lot, if not all, of CMC's work and have just an incredible amount of experience in the medical office area. And so we feel like we've, at this point, assembled a really fantastic team to execute this project. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about, as a developer perspective, about the site, and then Scott's going to tell you a little bit about this, the constraints. So we talked a little bit about the location already. It's just a fantastic location. It really is, as John mentioned, sort of a gateway into Ithaca and one of the key areas you enter the city. You come down 13, and it's one of the first sites you see. And so because of that, we thought, fantastic location. You have, we've talked about all the things, the farmer's market, the supermarket, just across the street, the bus stop, the bus actually terminal is very close by. All the things that you would want in terms of, particularly for housing and commercial, the vehicle traffic count. If you're looking at commercial, I'm sure you all have been down there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and sat there wondering what the hell's going on and why is this so congested. So those are all, if you're doing commercial development, those are some of the things you want, that drive, you want the traffic coming by. And so it had all the features that really make a good site for mixed use development. I'm going to kind of punt a little bit on the constraints because I think Scott can lay that out a little more, but you can see some of them from the satellite, and he'll tell you more about that. As a developer, one of the other things that really you look to is it zoned? I mean, one of the hardest things to do is to get a site rezoned. It can happen, it's possible, but it adds length and cost and time to the process and a lot of work and a lot of risk. And so if you're going in to propose a development on a site that needs to be rezoned, you're gonna be in for a lot of work, typically. And so the interesting thing about this is, about the time that Cayuga Med was closing on the property, the city was finalizing an effort to rezone not only this parcel, but the whole area around there for mixed-use development. The city's been out at the forefront here and wanting to create an opportunity for developers to come in and redevelop the waterfront and create a really neat and a great amount of investment on the waterfront. So what they did was really advantageous, not only to our site, but I think to the whole community, to create some new and really great things for the community. So it was zoned, and so that was great. The other thing that's really huge is, not only if it's something zoned, but is the city on board? Are they sort of, you're not looking for somebody to just say, yeah, rubber stamp your project and move ahead, but do they want to work with you? Are they cooperative? Do they see the on a project, particularly of this scale, the benefit of sort of being a partner with the hospital, with Park Grove, to come up with a development that's good for everybody and good for the community? And we've had over the last 2+ years a lot of give and take and a lot of meetings with city staff, with city officials, to come up with a development that they want to see, that we think will work. And there's so many communities you can go into where you don't get that, and where you're constantly fighting and you're on an uphill struggle the whole way. And as a developer, that's like the worst, because you don't know where you're going, you're spending a lot of money, you're spending a lot of time, and you're incurring a huge amount of risk. And obviously, in this business, you need to minimize your risk. There's always going to be risk in real estate. That's what real estate is, but you want to minimize it. And we're not through the process yet, but the city's been fantastic to work with. They want to see development, they want to see growth, and they want to see something that's good for the community. So that's something you look to. And lastly, and you'll see a little bit from the site plan, you want to know what you can develop on the site. So we've put a lot of time in determining what we can put on this site, and there's clearly capacity here to do a very nice development. And so those are the things that you look to when you're evaluating something like this. So let's move ahead a little bit. And Scott, I think, could really tell a lot about the constraints. We've been dealing with these now for, oh, geez,
for
a couple of years.
17, 18 years, maybe?
Not 18, but a couple, anyway.
As Andy was saying, there's great interest in the waterfront right now. In Ithaca, like all around the country and all around the world, we were involved in some of the things happening in New York, what is now the Hudson River Greenway and the Brooklyn Bridge Park. And so finally, that those ideas have reached up here, and three big areas of the city have been rezoned to encourage. And of course, with that encouragement and being the community that we are, everyone's desires are out there, what they want that waterfront to be. It should be affordable housing. It should be, which again, this project is bringing, the medical, the mixed use, all those. So we're positioned really well to do something fun. But of course, again, it being Ithaca, there's a great interest in involvement and engagement in every decision that's made. So part of the fun of doing projects is taking complicated pieces and things and doing good, and keeping the good ideas all through the process to see them finally built. And some of those conversations, even the tough ones in this community, often end up in better projects. So this one is a classic case in that. 40% of the site itself is undevelopable. I mean, actually, only 40% is developable, so 60% is not. We have the existing community. Is this a pointer as well? Wouldn't that be splendid if it were? Is it? Oh, it is. Look at that. So this is the community gardens that some of you might know as you come down 13, as you're heading to the farmer's market, this area here. We did not realize at the beginning of this project, we knew that they were well-beloved and well-used, but they really have political clout as well. So when we went to talk with the city about maybe finding them a better place, it's not a great place for community gardens, but they've been there for 40 years. So we were told pretty clearly by council and by the mayor, make accommodations with the, reach some agreement with the gardens, and then that would be the best course of action. So we spent quite a long time working, and in fact, that relationship's been great. And we have ended up, you'll see, with a site plan that both accommodates the gardens and accommodates our development. And it really, it's felt really good. The there are NYSEG poles and lines and easements all through this area here, so that's entirely unbuildable. The only buildable area of the site is, you'll see, in this area right here.
There also is a discussion, a long-standing discussion, of extending 5th Street through the site here. And so we've been having very elaborate conversations, which will continue even today, with the city of what happens to this area of Route 13. There's an idea of having, some of you may know what a road diet is, of making more of a boulevard, making more of an entry, civilizing this section of roadway. So we're talking with this, whoop, try to go back. I'm going back in time. There we go. Of this this area here, and also working with DOT to look at the feasibility and the cost of some of those pieces. We also have a rail line, active rail line on site. We also have fuel storage not far away. We also have a wastewater treatment plant that is right here. And we also have, we also have a great and evolving neighborhood. We have a new major grocery store that's being developed right here. Green Star is moving to that site, if some of you know Green Star. We have Aldi's here. We have the farmer's market. I think some of those are, some of those are listed here. So working with the neighbors, working with the surrounding businesses, working with these constraints to create really an exciting new neighborhood at this spot has been the adventure of the last year or so and will be the adventure of the next year or so until we have approvals, until we're in the ground, until we're actually building. And more context. There we go.
All right, just to wrap things up real quick so we get time for questions. Like I said, one of my roles, you know, other than designing the medical office building, we didn't show you any images of this project, and we can't really because we haven't taken it to the city yet, and we don't want to be we can't really go out public with it and stuff like that. But next year, if I come back, you'll see some really cool images. It's really developing nicely. Really fast, I was talking a little bit about incorporating wellness into the project and stuff. There, if you guys are familiar with this, it's sort of like a companion to LEED. It's called the International Well Building Institute, and it has a checklist like LEED and stuff. Some of the things that they focus on, if you look at these icons up top, is sort of the air quality, water, nourishment, light, fitness, comfort, mind. It really ties in well with healthcare. That's why we're sort of getting a little bit passionate about this. It's been out for a while. And anyhow, so we're going to be incorporating some of this stuff, at least into the medical office building, but our hopes are within the whole site to really create a well community. And that's sort of it. We can turn this over for turn this over to Mardell or whoever if anybody has any questions.
We only have a few minutes. I want to give a chance. There are a couple questions here we could ask for the many questions, but I wanted to get the people present here to put something forward for something we'd really like feedback on based on what we've heard. We'd like to pose a question to the
be brave.
More on kind of like the development approach of this. You guys are, I mean, it's an investment, it's a large investment, but how do you guarantee maybe straying away from just managing it as an asset and kind of like underwriting a favorable pro forma and kind of breaking the mold and doing something new while kind of assuming the risk? So like that balance between breaking the mold, not doing the cookie cutter that everybody else is doing, but then making an impact by doing something else nobody's done, which obviously has a risk. So how do you maneuver that? With some stakeholders.
Sounds like you.
Take this one together because this is the partnership on the risk. You know, as we viewed it, you know, we knew that we didn't want to be the ones doing the development. We're not developers. We're healthcare providers. But we knew that we wanted to be involved in this, and we knew that we wanted to have a component of healthcare, and the city in their comprehensive plan wanted to have a component of healthcare in it. So that's why we said, okay, if we're going to do this, we need to have the right partner who has the right motivation and the right skill set to be able to reduce that risk and try to ensure that we can have a viable and feasible project going forward. So we turned it over to these guys.
Well, and I'd even say to John's credit, to Cayuga Med's credit, you know, they really recognized the importance of this site and the importance of having a local healthcare provider and paid for the site probably more than, I know more than they would like to have paid and more than a developer would have paid because of that. And so to some extent, Cayuga Med already did take a risk and break the mold and did something that a lot of places wouldn't do because of the fact that they feel it's so important that this community have a real local healthcare provider so that healthcare here isn't necessarily going down across the border into Pennsylvania, that you have a facility that will be here for the long term that you could go to that's based in Ithaca to get your healthcare. And so right off the bat, I think that's a huge thing. In terms of the overall development, you know, I think we're trying to come up with something. I think when folks see the buildings and the design and what we're coming up with, I think you'll find it's a very attractive and unique. Everybody has their own taste, but we're trying to be somewhat unique. And we're trying to do a blend of different types of development so that we are including a significant affordable housing building, for example, that will have about 45 to 50 apartments that will just be for affordable lower income folks. And so we think it's important to fold that in. We also think that working with the community gardens was a huge benefit, not only to us, but to the site, because originally we did want to have them see if we could find another site, but we've had a great working relationship with them, and we think that having the gardens there, for example, is sort of unique and different because the people that live in our buildings will have the benefit of those garden plots and be a part of that garden community and can be a part of that community as well. So I guess those are just some examples of why I think this is a little different, and I think you know will ultimately create a great development.
Thank you. That was a good question. Someone else want to put something out there? Go ahead.
Could you talk a little bit about the Cayuga Health System and their relation to the community in terms of what you think having this downtown neighborhood walkable office will bring to the health system and its relationship?
Yeah, well, I think that it's about the community. I mean, it really is, and that's where. You know, we've viewed our health system as a such an important asset to the community. When people look to move into an area, they look at the education for their kids and the health care for themselves and their families. Those are two of the big things, and then housing. And so, you know, we view this as another way of connecting to our community. We do believe there's a place for locally controlled health care, that there's all these mega mergers going on around the country. But, you know, we've been successful in what we're doing. And, you know, just one quick example that may not mean much to anybody, but there's what's called the Medicare Accountable Care Organizations, or Medicare ACOs. Those of you who are in the Sloan program, I'm sure, are totally familiar with that. We were just got the data. We are the lowest cost Medicare ACO in New York State, the fifth lowest in the country, and we had the highest quality measures of any hospital in New York State for any system for our Medicare ACO. So we're doing things right and we're doing things well. And part of that is the community support. And so we want to support our community, we want our community to support us. This is a way of being very visible. When we look at, you know, Paul talked about the wellness component, we've been a very much a proponent of wellness. That's why we have our Cayuga Wellness Center. We had a fitness center as part of our system over 12 years ago, one of the first in the state to do that. So we just view this as the continuing progression of what we do, ensuring that we're meeting that triple aim that I talked about.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Laura Frank and I'm a senior in the hotel school. I wanted to take a moment to thank you all for coming here and talking to us. My question is, how have you approached the branding of this development? Because there are so many different personalities with the four different companies. Is it primarily sort of the Cayuga Medical Center look and that's how all the buildings are going to be connected? I'm just curious how you approach that.
You know, I think it's a work in progress. And, you know, I've often heard and used, you know, the concept of wanting to be a branded house versus a house of brands. And, you know, we struggled with that with the Wellness Center for a long time. So we had Island Health, we had Rasa, we had Cayuga Medical Associates, we had Cayuga Medical Center. And then we finally said, we got to stop that. This is looking like a mall with all these separately, you know, separate entities. We are one entity. And so we came up with the Cayuga Wellness Center and one brand with a number of sub-brands under it. So it's going to be one that we'll be working on because we do we want Cayuga Health to be, you know, we want the community to know that Cayuga Health is a major, you know, is the major contributor on this. But it is different because there will be retail, you know, so there'll be restaurants, there'll be other things in there. So it's going to be one of those challenges of how do we ensure the community gets what's down there. Great question.
A timely question, actually, right now for the
yes, team. Yes. Any ideas?
Are you tired?
Just one quick question, then we'll have to close it down, please.
How is this different from your existing facilities?
From the health system? You know, the medical office building, hopefully it'll incorporate a lot of the things that Paul talked about, the wellness and, but it will kind of tie into what we're doing. So we're going to have things like medical office, like physician offices in there for primary care. We're looking at things like a women's health office in that building. So we're looking at what are all the different, because it's going to be a 5-story medical office building. And so, one of the things looking at LEED, like we've always had, how do we ensure it's an environmentally sound building, and which we've done in our prior, over the last 20 years, and or 15 years. And then, how do we build in some of these wellness components? Because even our wellness center didn't have some of this, the components that we're looking at here. So, kind of that walkability, that, those types of things are going to be important.
And may I ask a follow-up?
Really quick.
Because I'm curious, like, how do you expect these new design features to impact the outcomes, like the wellness outcomes of your patients?
I think being able to just continually reinforce wellness for our community. So, when you are out there marketing and branding this, it's around just getting that information out to the community, and how do you ensure that you are doing that kind of in the generic way, but then the medical office building itself, some of the programs that we're going to be putting in that space and the walkability to downtown and the availability and access to care is another key component.
Real quick, I'm sorry you guys are late, but the other thing that we're going to, we as Mardell has sort of been instrumental in creating and believe in evidence-based design. We have a bunch of accredited professionals on my healthcare team and stuff like that. So, well, a lot of the things that we're going to implement, we have research that shows that it will improve the outcome of the patients and the occupants of the building. So,
great. Well, let's thank our.